Vectis Radio on DAB.
Oh, we've got Greg and Felicity Chapman in.
Good afternoon, you two.
Hi.
Hello, hi.
So, what's going on? What's your question?
Well, Felicity Hawthorne, who may be Chapman, who may not.
Who is both.
Is going to tell us all about her book, what she wrote, mm-hmm. and why she wrote it. So the book is entitled?
Life Beside the Sea.
Life Beside the Sea, yeah.
But it's a sea with a C. I'm really proud of it. This was my idea. I came up with the title. It's the best bit I did with the whole
right.
book.
Right.
Wasn't the way we asked him.
Let us see.
Let us see. I like that.
We didn't ask.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm going to sit back quietly in the corner.
We
sorry.
Have to include him because it is written by me, but also written by Greg
of
and also written by my mum, Jackie, as well.
Oh, okay. So
and the C stands for?
Cancer.
Right. So you've been living by the sea with cancer.
I have. Since I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Good grief. And are we allowed to ask what sort of cancer it is?
Of course you can. It's called chronic myeloid leukemia.
Oh.
Right. So it's got sort of a, sounds like blood-related.
It is. It is a cancer of the blood, yes. And unusually, it is one that is normally found in men over about 60.
And you're not that?
I'm not that. And I was a 16-year-old girl when I was diagnosed with it. So it, threw a spanner into the works for me and also for science too.
So the medical profession raised a couple of eyebrows at that one, didn't they?
They certainly did. On one occasion when my mum actually took me to see a new consultant because mine was on holiday or something. And when we were taken into the room, the consultant just started talking about the condition and the results and was addressing it to my mum.
Yeah.
And she realised and she's like, oh no, it's not me. It's my daughter. And the consultant was so apologetic. But he said, oh, I know the condition. I just assumed it was the older of you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. Read the notes.
Yeah. Look at the age, yeah.
So
is there any treatment for this?
There's many treatments now. At the time of diagnosis, if you looked online, it was pretty grim. But they had a new treatment out when I was diagnosed, thankfully, which is what I'm still on today. But right. since then, they've brought out several more.
Okay. And are there any sort of horrid... side effects?
I think most cancer treatments have side effects, and living with a long-term one, the pills do have a whole range. I've never read it. I actually deliberately don't read the little leaflet because I, you know, the power of the mind.
Nobody
I don't want to give myself
leaflet.
It.
suddenly yeah. you've got all of those. Yeah.
I didn't want like a nasty placebo where I read it and suddenly think I've got these things.
Yeah, I think it's a very sensible way of approaching it.
I always had it. Greg read it, my mum read it. And so if I get anything and I describe how I'm feeling to them and they're like, oh yeah, that's on there or no, that's not.
Right.
But I have several.
So, did you go straight on to this medicine, as it were, or did you have other treatments?
No, I had to have the usual type of chemotherapy first. Right. I was at the stage where I was actually only a couple of days away. They said I would have died if I'd reached the end of the week.
Wow.
So they had to give me a clean slate. So they had to give me normal chemotherapy first to wipe everything out, and then they put me on this specialised treatment.
Okay. That's not fun, is it?
No.
It's not fun at all.
I think even people that don't know anything about cancer, we all know cancer is horrible and the treatment is pretty horrible too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long did the chemotherapy take you? Was it a long time?
I was only on the chemotherapy for about 10 days.
Right, and then this other miracle
then
drug.
I've been on that one since every day, yeah.
Right, okay. And so you're thankful the NHS pays for all that then?
Goodness, yes. I mean, it was because it was so new at the time with the medication for the first few years, the company that developed it, they are the only ones that can have the rights to it, as it were.
Yes.
Right.
And then after that, you know, other companies can make it and the price comes down. But for the first few years, it was a little bit, scary.
So, that'd be a scary amount of money, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just?
Okay, so you take these every day and you have done since you were a teenager?
16, yeah.
No. Okay.
Is it once a day, twice a day?
I take two pills every day, once a day, with
a
meal.
Yeah.
Okay. And
you've got to have
your meal. Job.
And they're aggressive pills, aren't they? Because they come with a special coating. And if that coating is even slightly scratched...
I'm going to be very, very badly sick within about 20 minutes.
Well, so they're gastro-resistant or whatever the phrase is.
So it has some sort of gastro...
It gets through
cover.
The stomach bit before...
Yeah, that's why you have to have it with a meal. Preferably, they like you to have it with a meal and a glass of milk, but I don't really drink milk. So, you've got to protect your stomach from it first.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. Yeah, there are other medications that have to pass through to get to the sort of secondary part of it before they break down. Otherwise, you end up with stomach upsets.
That's it.
So what made you want to write this book?
Oh, that one is slightly tricky. I've kept my cancer a secret for about 20 years. I kept it a secret. Right. And it was just because when you say the word cancer, a lot of the time people know it's a killer. And so everyone is kind of frightened to talk about it. Right. They feel uncomfortable about it. They don't want to be insensitive, asking you questions about it. And so I didn't want people's first impression of me to be, I'm the girl with cancer. Right. I'm the one that's got something scary or going to die. Yeah. So I only tell people once they know me well enough. Okay. If I have to tell them. Otherwise, I have lots of friends that until we released this book didn't know that I had
that's
this.
That's fair enough. Yeah. People will treat you differently.
That's it.
With those sort of things. And I'm sure there's some people who aren't entirely convinced it's not contagious.
Yeah. The big scary C. But I had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer. Thankfully, she's absolutely fine now. She's in full remission. Yeah. She's okay. But at the time that she was going through it, she had children and she didn't know how to deal with it. She didn't know how to talk about it. So she kind of did ostrich, bury her head in the sand. Mm-hmm. And the children really struggled with that. They wanted to, you know, get answers. And she just wasn't in the frame of mind to do that. Mm-hmm. And I saw how it hurt them as a family. And so I wanted to write a book to give people hope, but also something to relate to as you're going through it, but also from my mom's perspective of seeing someone that they love go through it and feeling helpless.
Yes.
I wanted to give everyone hope.
So this sounds like it's a difficult read, but I'm led to believe it's not necessarily.
That's where Greg comes in.
Well, I was kind of asked by you to take this book, and it started off with Felicity and her mum writing down their memories of the period of time when she was diagnosed, from just pre-diagnosis to basically when she gets out of hospital. And I was asked to take this and kind of make it more of an entertaining read. So I've managed to slot in some other stories from around. And also the other side of it, to make it really not depressing, because you've talked a little bit about why you did it, but there is another reason behind why you did it as well. You mentioned hope, but I think the question of hair and hope, if you want to.
Yeah, so the book, we get no profit from it. Any profit that we make, we are donating to the Little Princess Trust.
Right. Oh, I've heard of that, yes. Yeah.
I've donated hair to them 3 times now. Greg has done it twice, and we fundraise for them as well. But they're a charity that mean quite a lot to me personally. And so we're donating all of the money.
We started about the same time that you were going through it. Sadly, about the same time. Just for anyone who doesn't know the Little Princess Trust, it's an amazing charity, but it was a lady who lost her daughter, sadly, to cancer, a little girl named Hannah. And when she passed away, or when she got cancer, they wanted to do something to help her, and they were trying to find wigs, because one of the big things for her was when she lost her hair and people could look and they could see it. And there wasn't a wig available for a child. And so, I mean, we've had a chance to go. We actually filmed a little mini documentary with them, and we've had a chance to go and look at their warehouse now. And their thing now is they want to have a wig available for any child, and they have a huge range of hair colours and sizes of wigs, and they're actually specially designed to fit a child's head rather than an adult's head, and to grow.
So these are real, this is actually real hair. Human hair.
Yes.
Been donated. I mean, you've both got great heads of hair, so I'm sure you can spare a bit from time to time. But
On my last donation, I donated 2 feet of hair.
That's a lot of hair to
thin. So your hair hasn't stopped growing then?
No. My hair actually did thin a lot, and my mum actually bought me a hairpiece. The Little Princess Trust wasn't a thing back when I needed it, but my mum did find a synthetic hairpiece for me. But by the time I was actually well enough to go out of the house again, my hair had grown back.
It doesn't affect everybody in the same way, does it?
It doesn't. My hair came back different when it thinned out. I used to have very kind of a rich brown, quite curly hair. And when it came back, all my friends were asking, are you dyeing it black and straightening it?
But it's good looking hair, to be fair.
So,
So the book is a good read to give hope to people, as well as explaining your story.
The whole point of it is that the C word, originally we were going to call it the C word, but we couldn't use that because it's already been used. So Life Beside the Sea. But the whole point is that once the word cancer gets brought up, people have certain assumptions and certain ideas. And one of the big things is that with Felicity, we wanted to show that it's not always a death and doesn't even have to be sort of life restricting. And the way we live our life now, and Felicity and I, we've made travel documentaries, just about to start another big travel documentary series together filming. And she does all that with this condition and in spite of this condition, and she has to push through, and it does make certain things a bit more difficult.
Some days are not good days,
but no, it's sort of letting people know that you can, you know, you have these conditions and you can work around them and just make it a little bit more hope for people, like you say. Yes.
So with travel, particularly international travel, you don't have any problem with getting those pills and things through customs and that?
We've actually just done that today. I get a letter from my consultant who is in Southampton because the hospital here don't have the machines to test my blood. Enough. But they send me a letter over explaining my condition and the pills that I have to take with me everywhere. And so that helps me get it through.
Yeah.
Okay, because that, yeah, that could be a
major
hindrance.
So you're not going to be arrested as a drug smuggler?
That's it.
That's it. But also, like, we're going to Central America in a few weeks, and we went to Mexico a few years ago, and the doctors prescribed antibiotics in advance, emergency antibiotics, because
just
if you
case,
get
yeah.
something over there, for most of us, it's going to be horrible. But for Felicity, it could be life-threatening.
Yeah. Right,
and if we hadn't had those emergency antibiotics last time we were out there, we would have been in real trouble.
Yeah.
So this therapy does affect your immune system?
Yes, I am immunocompromised, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I love the way you say it. Yes, I'm immunocompromised.
I am, yeah. Oh, it was during COVID and everything when everyone is saying, oh, if you're over this age, you've got to stay locked in and all this stuff. And I was thinking, oh, my mum's going to have to be really careful. And it actually all landed on me. I was getting texts most days from the NHS and
don't
letters and phone calls.
Please
and,
stay in.
Yeah, we had a very strict lockdown with it.
Well,
yeah.
But, you know. You've
learned to deal with it.
You've handled it with what we see here, good humour. You've written this book, which is not a thin book, I have to say. You know, it's quite a hefty, but it sounds like it's quite a hefty tome.
It's light, but it's sort of deep, I think, is the thing.
Okay.
And that's the thing, is because we wanted to just tell the story. Yeah. And, I mean, we do have some other, so speaking of international travel, there is a fantastic story in there from our honeymoon about how actually having CML actually helped us with our flights at one point, because it's a whole story which we're not going to go into, but because Flickr got ill over there and we'd had all sorts of problems, suddenly we found ourselves being fast-tracked through the airport. And again, we could have had trouble because at one point the captain of the airline actually came down and questioned whether or not she was safe to fly.
Yes.
But it was only because we had that letter from the consultant that said she's been cleared to fly that he actually let her on the plane at all.
Interesting, but they took that much detail about it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point in time, you'd caught Montezuma's revenge over there. So she had the...
I looked like a zombie at that point.
I can understand them.
We're going to deliver this person still alive when we get to London.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't think we mentioned it in there, but there was the moment when you were going down the aeroplane aisle, and I've got her onto the plane, and she's been very, very ill, and she's quite dizzy, and I've taken her down the aisle of the aeroplane, carefully helping her, and this lovely American lady, sort of in one of the seats, shouted out, top of her lungs, "Oh, that girl's going to faint." And I kind of said, no, she's fine, thank you very much, but she's fine. So she shouted out at the top of her lungs, "Well, she looks awful."
Thanks.
Yes. I know, that's pretty much what I said.
Well, you certainly don't look awful today.
Thank you very much.
So where can we buy this book?
Easiest place is Amazon. Just go to Amazon and look up Life Beside the Sea. If you would like a signed copy, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/Greg. And you can buy signed copies there as well.
It's also available as a Kindle and audiobook as well.
Wow.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. We're definitely going to get a copy of that.
So that's Felicity Hawthorne.
It is.
Yes.
Is the author.
Yeah. Is the author.
With the help of that
Greg Hawthorne and Greg Chapman.
Excellent. Well done for doing it. It must have been A, brave, and B, therapeutic, I would think, to get that out.
Definitely, I think so. I think it helped.
Has anybody treated you differently since they've heard that you've got cancer?
I don't think so, but I haven't been in contact with that many people that didn't already know.
Right.
We've only had one or two friends that got in touch with us and said to us, "Oh, I never knew you had that," but I haven't actually seen them in person.
That was the point.
Yeah, it was.
Excellent. No, well done. And let's hope it's a bestseller. I'll definitely plug it a couple more times on the radio. And we'll get a copy or two, won't we, Maggie?
We will.
And let's hope it goes well. Come in and tell us how it's doing, will you? We're a bit later.
Certainly will, yeah.
Thank you.
And where are we going to see you next then, Greg?
Where are you seeing me next? On the island here, you'll next see it will be Santa Specials at Haven Street.
Oh! Wow.
Because normally it would be Wizard Week at Haven Street. Now, don't worry, Wizard Week at Haven Street is still happening, but someone's not going to be here this year because they're off filming documentaries.
Oh,
so
right. You'll be back in time for the Santa Specials.
But I'll be back in time for the Santa Specials.
Oh, we might have to get a ticket for the Santa Specials.
We might, yes.
Oh, pop along. It's always good fun up there, isn't it?
It is indeed. Excellent. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Vectis Radio on DAB.